T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
Yeah, it is Friday, and Denise and Tricia get to pick the music, and this is what you get to listen to all day.
You are welcome.
Good morning, St.
More
Louis.
More of that to come, everybody.
Yeah, no kidding. That actually is video, that's audio of a video of a baby elephant falling down. That the
and
president,
why?
The president retweeted that, and Twitter blew up. Why would he do this? He must hate elephants.
I don't think that's what they said.
why would that be the go-to?
That wasn't it.
He wants to shoot all the elephants.
Okay, that wasn't it.
No, that wasn't the reaction.
I think
it was just
confusion. Like, what was the president
Maybe
thinking?
Maybe he likes elephants.
I think that was it.
He confuses them rather often.
It was just it was kind of funny because he just threw in a random baby elephant tweet and the media is like, what is happening?
He can't win.
They don't know. They don't know what to do with
it.
That's kind of what it gets down to.
You call somebody a name. You play a baby elephant.
It's a lose-lose. I like the elephants the best, though.
I'll take that over the name
calling. Oh, my. I don't know. The president was in New Hampshire last night and gave a big speech. And what was the? Of course, he's talking about saving the American economy, and let me get to one of these just so people can kind of hear the tone of keeping America great again. Let's go to cut number 29, please.
Unemployment for African Americans. You've heard me say this many times. I'm very proud of it. Hispanic Americans and Asian Americans have all reached their lowest rates ever recorded in the history of our country.
Yeah. Yeah. So the headline in the Daily Mail, which I know tends to be a little tabloidish sometimes, the headline in the Daily Mail was Trump fat shames a protester at his New Hampshire MAGA rally, ignored everything that he said at the rally. And in the middle of it, some lady stood up, or some guy said, I don't even know who it was, and was taunting him or said something, and they had to escort him out, and he makes a reference to them having a serious weight problem and they should take care of their health or something like that. And, of course, he's now guilty of fat shaming. So,
all right.
Just so you know.
I don't love that. Like, just don't. Like, I mean, I get it. Just be like, move on, you're dumb, but I don't like that. I don't like that.
So here's...
I don't like it.
Here's the lesson. If you swing at me, duck, because I'm going to swing back.
I know,
I'm sorry, you may not...
Slut-shaming.
Go back home to your mother. I mean, he's done this in a variety of different ways to people that have challenged him at these rallies.
Go back home to your mother is not like, you're fat, lose weight. I don't know. I don't like that one.
Like, if you don't like my rally, get the hell out. If you don't like my country, get the hell out.
That's when you took it one step too far.
Like, you've gone too far. Don't call me fat.
Everyone has their line.
That's my line.
I think that's rude. I think it's so rude.
That protester probably needs a safe space this morning because nobody's ever pointed out to them that they need to lose weight. I don't know.
That's the part I don't like about this. Now we're talking about people's weight. It's icky. Like, back it up. Back up away from this.
You probably know why he's probably fat. He probably eats too much animal meat.
There's people that eat everything that are overweight.
Come on, trying to get you going
you
this
don't
morning.
Eat meat,
trying
you eat
trying to get you
cookies,
going this
you're
morning.
You're going to be just as fat as the other person.
Oh,
I don't care what you eat. That, don't call people fat. It's
that
mean.
That guy
stop
probably ate 15 or 20 Impossible Burgers, and that's the problem we have now. We're all facing
that. Oh, the problem we have is we're talking about fat people. Like, stop it. People aren't fat. People are
focus
beautiful.
Focus on, let's get our head out of our butts
exactly.
And focus on the real issue.
Exactly.
Yes,
that's what I'm saying.
That is my point.
This is the real issue. Go to cut number 28.
Our shared Republican agenda is pro-worker, pro-jobs, pro-family, pro-growth, and 100% pro-American.
There you go. President of the United States, not the president of the world, which he basically said again. I love that. And that's what you're going to hear a lot more of. The minds are blowing off this morning, or blowing up, because Israel voted initially, ruled that Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar were not allowed in the country. They denied their visa requests or travel requests. Oh, the Democrats are so offended by this. Bernie Sanders is so offended by this. None of them said a word when the British Parliament voted on banning Donald Trump from their country. Sitting president of the United States when that vote was taken, silence from the Democrats. Two Muslims who are members of the BDS movement, which is the boycott, divest movement of Israel, trying to damage the Israeli economy, are told you're not welcome to come here and support BDS. And they're all outraged, like we've removed one of their legs or something. I mean, it's just ludicrous. This morning, in case you missed the headline, they did grant Tlaib's request to go visit her grandmother somewhere in the West Bank. After she promised that she wasn't going to go there and do anything political, that if it's just a visit to see grandma, you're welcome. If you're coming here to stage some anti-Israel rally in the West Bank, here's how obnoxious it was, right? They didn't apply for a visa just to visit Israel. At the top of their request, they referred to it as Palestine. That's how obnoxious it is. You know, it would be like applying to come to the United States, and at the top of the thing, you're applying to come to, you know, Mexico or what. It's like calling the country something it's not. It was obnoxious, and I'm good for Israel. I'm sorry. Good for them for standing up. If you're going to come to my country and you want to protest and do things that are going to damage it, no, you're not welcome. You're not welcome.
I think they really seem like the good guys, too, because then Tlaib's like, but my grandma's there. They're like, yeah, you can come see granny. You're fine. Like, they just, like,
but
don't.
But do you really put it past her to not take advantage of the opportunity?
No. There's not a chance.
I mean, she's going to make a statement.
I agree. No, yeah. she's a
This is the same person that dropped the MF bomb in front of her six-year-old child the night she got elected to Congress, talking about the president.
Yeah,
she'll go to Israel and make a horse's rear end of herself.
I just think Israel looks
like the
grown up.
Yeah. Yes.
It's great. I think that's great. We'll talk about that. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. We're going to let you hear from Cheryl Atkison. Atkison is one of the investigative journalists in Washington still dedicated to truth, justice, and the American way. Because she pointed out the lies that have been told about what happened in Ferguson by people who think they should be elected president of the United States, who utter flat-out lies in their statements about what happened here in Ferguson. Cheryl Atkison called them out. We're going to get to her coming up here at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, we'll get to your phone calls as well. 314-241-9797. All right, welcome back. Turn it down. It's like reverberating through my brain. Is this Drake?
No.
Oh.
No.
Because he's a Kentucky fan. At least I could enjoy that portion of it.
I'll get you some Drake if you want. I don't even know if there's a lot of Drake I like.
Is there any of it that's fit to air?
Probably
like that
not.
Doesn't have expletives and bad words
versions.
In it?
That radio edit.
Because most of the crap my son listens to, you couldn't. I don't know how to get away with playing that on the radio.
They bleep it.
Bleep.
And that's how radio works.
Thank you. That would come a long way, baby. Bleep. What is the deal here? The people driving near the Gateway Arch, people driving near the arch grounds last night got shot. That's shocking to me.
Yikes.
A drive-by shooting near the Gateway Arch, one of six in a 24-hour period in the city of St. Louis. This happened about 10 o'clock at night, which is, you know, that's not an outrageous time. It's not one in the morning. And the a 30-year-old man and 21-year-old woman driving down Lenore K. Sullivan Boulevard. Some people approached them and fired at them from a red car. I mean, there's no indication here that they knew the people that shot at them. They just randomly shot at them. Then a 17-year-old boy was shot in the thigh while sitting in a parked car. A couple other people were shot in the leg at about 4:30 Wednesday near Pleasant Street and Lee Avenue. I'm not going through the whole police thing here, but they show a map of where these shootings happen. It's happened right in the heart of downtown St. Louis by the Arch.
That's
what
awful.
Conclusion can one draw?
That we should start treating each other better?
No, we have to ban guns because clearly they're jumping up on their own and shooting people. Like, this is a problem. I'm going to have to make sure my safe is locked so they can't get out of there.
I'm with Tricia. People stink.
Mm-hmm.
Just ludicrous.
They're the worst. Well, and we've got, like, our neighbors. Well, not our neighbors. We've got an Airbnb as part of our unit now. And people, there was a family that came into town. They're staying there. And they were going to the Arch last night for, like, I think the last one goes up at 8:40. Because you can do that at night. I didn't know that. That's cool.
I didn't know that either.
They're in town from, I don't know, Iowa or something, just visiting St. Louis. And then something like this happens, like your first night here, like you're down by the Arch and there's a shooting, like with your kids, you know, that's crap. That's really a sucky thing that families can't go to the Arch on a Thursday night without worrying about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The stories I always hated were we'd be sitting there at the Channel 4 newsroom. We'd get these phone calls and it would be from like somebody who was visiting from out of town who parked somewhere near the Arch grounds and then went to visit the Arch grounds and came back and their windows were broken out mm-hmm. and all of their stuff was stolen. I used to feel so bad for those people. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we should just post big, of course it's not politically correct, but we should just post big signs around the Arch grounds now. Enter at your own risk. Park your car at your own risk. Don't leap, for God's sake. Don't leave anything valuable in your car if you are anywhere near downtown St. Louis.
Well, the Arch.
Unfortunately, that's not just downtown St. Louis.
Yeah.
Whole car everywhere. Thing. I mean, we have like neighborhood association, like Facebook pages and email, you know, and the neighborhood app and all that stuff. I mean, cars are broken into just about every night in our area.
Yeah, but like that's happened a time or two. Even in my neighborhood, I'm just saying that
we've had two cars stolen.
But the smash and grab thing, I mean, there was a time in St. Louis when they were having 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 of these randomly a night mm-hmm. in certain areas. They had a special patrol that was just driving around looking for, because they assumed it was a gang of kids that were committing these.
Usually
I mean, it's a lot worse here than it is in most areas around.
Well, I mean, down here, I think it's more violent. But in West County, yeah. Let's be real. There's people breaking into cars almost every night.
Yeah.
Looking for the unlocked cars.
Yeah, they look for unlocked cars. Yeah. In one case, they found a garage door opener, opened the garage door, walked into the house, found another set of keys, and stole a car.
Yeah.
Wow. Enter at your own risk. That's all I have to say. 314-241-9797. Cheryl Atkinson coming up. Yeah, this morning I'm last because I wasn't first on Tuesday.
That's right.
I'm just happy I get to play along this week.
Good morning, Dan, on line two. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing good. But, Mark, for the love of God, you've got to start to do better on those Tuesday trivia question things. Or, better yet, turn Fridays into an opposite day, and the winner has to play opposite music of what they would normally play.
So you're suggesting I'm going to continue losing, and that's my only best strategy.
I'm just trying to cover my bases, buddy.
Listen, without some Sammy Hagar is going to be all right.
I appreciate you, Dan. I'll keep up the good fight. I'm gonna study a little more before next Tuesday. Can I just tell you?
There you go. You all have a good weekend now.
You too, Dan. Thank you for the call.
Ooh, that's a lot of pressure, Mark.
I know.
I feel compelled to like lay it on extra thick today with the stuff you don't like.
Do you?
Yep.
We're not going to inundate people with the minutiae of policy.
Exactly.
I've caught Mark liking some of the music that I played, just going to say.
I agree. He doesn't even
not
realize
the country
he's
so
doing
much,
it.
But yeah,
mm-hmm. Not the country so much, and not that last song that you played before that. I'm just
a little too
just
poppy
my...
for you. Yeah, it's even a little too poppy for me.
Those are a little rough.
It's a little poppy.
To start out the gate with
just a little poppy.
We'll mix it up. You'll be fine.
You just need to be. Because I was kind of hoping that when you had your choice, it would be something like this.
Glory, Gloria.
Actually, it might be. We haven't heard that song
Gloria,
in a while.
Gloria. Gloria, I think I got your number, Gloria.
Yeah, that great.
Yeah,
I even got Sue Thomas singing along in there. Look at that. She was like, I haven't heard that in a while.
I can't believe how great that sounds.
It just takes us back to such a fantastic time, but I'll always love that.
Yes. Oh, good morning. I love it.
You may be cool, but you will never be as cool as Brett Hall singing Gloria. At the arch rally. With a Bud Light in his hand and telling everybody that, I love you, man.
I love you.
I see you.
I love you so much. I've seen you.
There we go.
At so many places.
Love that.
He's the best.
We've got to get Brett on here one morning. I don't know if he's up this early. Yeah, for all I know, he hadn't gone to bed yet. I just don't know. We need to look into that.
He and Bradley, your son, have the same schedule.
I don't know, man, but that's pretty impressive because Brett's no spring chicken these days. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's old. I'm not age shaming him. I assume he and I are roughly the same age, but he's telling you what. I mean, I remember covering him when he was playing. How old is he? How old is Brett?
He is 55.
See?
Yep.
He's
ancient.
Stop.
He just turned 55.
That's looking younger every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
That's not old. I don't actually think
Thank
that's
you.
Old for the
Thank
record.
Thank you for pointing that out. That's good. So I'm driving in my vehicle last night. I took my daughter out to dinner. She starts her first job. On Monday.
Yay.
Her first adulting, like, full-time job mm-hmm. on Monday. So, took her out last night. We went to Walnut Grill. We had some of the appetizers and one of their flatbreads, and it was outstanding, and they got a great happy hour in case you want to go there. And I get this alert on my phone. I try not to look at my phone when I'm at dinner. I get this alert, and it's a CNN alert, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it says, Donald Trump wants to buy Greenland.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, why is this news? Why is CNN so concerned that Donald Trump wants to buy Greenland?
Why does Donald Trump want to buy Greenland? I miss
Well,
this.
We have a key military base there. It's mm-hmm. been there since the 50s. It's got, you know, early warning radar systems on it if Russia was to try to attack us or ICBMs were to fly that general area.
So he wants to buy
it's
Greenland.
It's pretty remote. It's a Danish territory, and he asked one of his aides if it was possible for the United States to buy Greenland.
That was going to be my question. Does he want to buy it as Trump, or does he want to buy it for,
no,
the country?
For the country?
No, for the country.
Yeah.
Right
for
on.
The country. So
could really go either way with him.
And I've never really thought about Greenland or why we'd want to own it, but apparently there would be some advantages to it being a U.S. territory simply because of its location. I don't know if the Danish people need cash or if they'd even entertain the idea of selling it. But again, they report this with some degree of, can you believe Donald Trump discussed with an aide buying Greenland? Right? That's it's sort of breathless reporting, as CNN often does. I'm sure they assigned Jim Acosta to this story. And then you get to the last paragraph of this article, and here's what it says. Trump's attempt, okay, let me read this full thing. The person told the paper that Trump's comments seemed like more of a joke than a genuine question. The person thought the president was interested in Greenland due to its natural resources. Then here's the kicker. Trump's attempt would not be the first American effort to buy Greenland.
Mm.
Harry Truman was interested in controlling the region and apparently tried to buy Greenland in 1946. And in 1867, Secretary of State William Seward showed interest in purchasing the land. So this isn't some new concept.
Sure.
In 1867, we first showed interest in buying Greenland. But because Trump brought it up, that's the headline of the story. Mm-hmm. And they don't tell you any of the rest of that till like the very end of the story. It's literally the last line of the story. Is that, oh, by the way, other people have tried to do this too.
This isn't news.
Come on, people.
I think buying up land like that would be solidly in his realm of responsibility.
No kidding. It's what he does, right?
That sounds very presidential.
He acquires things. Mm-hmm. And then he'd put a Trump resort up there and it all would be good.
Well, that's why I asked if he just wanted it for himself. Because I could see
it would be
like
Trump land. Yeah, he's change
oh,
the
we
name.
Could change the name to Trumpland instead of Greenland. Uh-huh.
Yep.
What do you think?
Yep.
That'd be awesome.
I think that would probably be in the plan.
Sounds like a nice retirement spot.
No kidding. He could move up there and be king. Yeah. It'd be awesome.
He can continue to be the first. People are concerned he wants to just keep being president, right? So he can go there and be president forever.
Yeah. He's gonna buy his own country. Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. Mickey, thanks for calling into the show this morning. How are you?
Fantastic. God gave us another day.
Yes, indeed.
Wasn't that the most great speech? And makes everybody feel good. You're laughing all day. It's wonderful the way he brings all of us together.
Yeah.
And keeps us on the highlight.
Well, the thing about it is, if you looked at that, if you watched any of that rally last night, even the highlights of it, right? 12,000 people in this arena. It broke the record from some rock concert that was held there by Elton John for the most people they've ever packed into this place, apparently. At least that's what the president claimed about it. And then compare and contrast, WMUR Channel 9 in New Hampshire put out this story yesterday of Elizabeth Warren. She showed up there to rally, right, in New Hampshire. Here's the headline. Warren speaks to crowd of hundreds in Franconia. Like 200 people climbed to the top of what they consider a mountain up there to watch Elizabeth Warren lie about Mike Brown's death in Ferguson. And in the meantime, the president draws 12,000 people to this arena in New Hampshire.
Right. And he gives everybody a positive attitude. He makes everybody feel good when they leave there. They feel wonderful. They love this country. He loves it. He shows it by the way he talks. He loves his country. He loves his people. He loves everything about this country.
Yeah.
And it just makes you feel wonderful. And they're always doom and gloom and blah, blah, blah. You know, it gets tiresome. I mean, and you hear one speech and then you hear the next, and they must give it off to the next person so that they can say the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's just dull and doom and gloom.
Mickey, thanks for the call.
Oh, God bless this country, our president, our military, our police, and everybody that protects us.
Have a great weekend.
You too. God bless you guys.
We appreciate
you, Mickey,
that.
You too.
We'll get back to more on the president's speech last night coming up, and I want you to hear from Cheryl Atkinson, who called out people like Elizabeth Warren who lied about Ferguson. We'll be back. Let me get to my guest. She is Cheryl Atkinson, of course, host of Sinclair's A Full Measure, which airs here on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. and again at 10 p.m. And fullmeasure.news is the website. Cheryl, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You know what? I it's funny, this weekend you're going to have a story coming up on Full Measure about distrust in the national media, and we just experienced the anniversary of the Ferguson shooting here in St. Louis, and there was a lot of distrust generated by that event.
You know, what's shocking to me is some months later when the official report came out from the Obama Justice Department that basically said, hands up, don't shoot, never happened, how many people to this day aren't aware of that? And I blame us in the media. We in the media, I'm not sure which is grammatically correct. I blame us for not disseminating that important news. And if it had been found by perhaps somebody else, there would be a lot of reason for skepticism. But this being found by the Obama Justice Department should have been pretty well accepted. And instead, you know, I would say at least a couple times a year, I'm in a group of people that talk about hands up, don't shoot, and they have no idea that the forensic evidence, according to the Obama Justice Department, show that not only did it not happen, but that Officer Wilson's account was forensically proven with DNA and blood and so on, that Michael Brown had reached into the police car, grabbed him around the throat, and was only being shot as he was lurching toward the officer.
Yes, very true. The first, and I pointed this out last Friday, that the first blood that was drawn, according to the Department of Justice, was when Mike Brown was struggling to get the officer's gun out of his holster inside of the police car. So, and this gets glossed over all the time. In fact, and I love that you did this, in your opinion piece in The Hill, you pointed out that some of the people running for president on the Democratic side are still trying to leverage some of the mistruths that came out of that, including Kamala Harris, who referred to it as a murder.
Well, I think that was Elizabeth Warren who said 5 years ago, Michael Brown was murdered by a white police officer. So talk about stoking racial connotations where in the end there were none, and talk about accusing someone of murder who was never charged with anything. You know, that's defamation, libel, slander, whatever you want to call it. Either these top people running for office, and some of them are lawyers who are doing this, some of these candidates, either they don't know the truth or know it and decided to, you know, appeal to some viewership or base anyway, and either of them seems to me almost as equally bad as the other. In a neutral news environment, we would know today, more of us would know what really happened or what the findings were, but I would also say in a neutral news environment, the whole hands-up, don't-shoot narrative wouldn't have made it around the world and gotten out of control, because the people saying so would have been properly challenged, and there would have been two sides to the stories being disseminated. And instead, as you recall, at least on the national news, it was almost an exclusively one-sided, you know, without evidence, as they like to say, narrative that was promulgated.
Oh, very true. And even here in St. Louis, it continues to be promulgated by a lot of activists who use it to their own advantage. The city of Ferguson, we just had the mayor in here last Friday, and I mean, you talk about a city that had really transformed itself. It was a destination for dinner, for outside cafes and all this stuff. Their reputation got sullied and continues to be sullied 5 years later. And it's a shame what it's done to that town. It really is.
Well, think about the officer. And I just looked it up. You're right. Harris also called it a murder. So two candidates, at least, for the Democrat run for president, falsely called Michael Brown's death a murder. And I think about Officer Wilson quite often. I've tried to get an interview with him, and you know, he hasn't wanted to talk to me. I don't think he's done interviews. Hardly blame him, but think about a life ruined, a career destroyed and a life ruined, and he'll live the rest of his life probably with most people not understanding that he was exonerated by two investigations, in one case done by people who probably wanted to charge him if there was any sort of bias on their part, but yet could not find anything to charge him with.
Very true. Yeah, he has not done any local media either. I've put out several requests to him through mutual friends, and he's declined, primarily because Mike Brown's father is still hammering the new elected county prosecutor to reopen the case. So he's probably afraid this thing's going to get dragged up again here shortly, I imagine.
As I tweeted out about this the other day, there were quite a few responses saying things like, you know, well, we all know there's racism in police departments, and the notion that you can falsify an accusation against a specific person and justify a false story, hands up, don't shoot, that never happened, and use that because there is racism on some police departments or even the Ferguson department, is so wildly out of bounds to me. But that's the response of, you know, quite a few people.
Oh, yeah, sure it is. Is the Ferguson case part of your coverage in the Full Measure story this weekend?
No, this is, I am out shooting new stories. So this is a rerun of a story we looked at with media bias and media mistakes, as I like to call them, an examination of some of the worst coverage that some of the most formerly well-respected news outlets have given over the years. And by the way, this summer doing news stories like you won't see anywhere else, because we're just doing real news. I've been to Ireland, Northern Ireland, United Kingdom, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, Greece, Puerto Rico,
and the border. So we'll have a bunch of news stories we're working on starting September 8th.
We will look forward to that on Full Measure. Cheryl Atkinson, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Have a great week. Of course, you can watch Full Measure on Channel 30 here on Sundays, 9:30 a.m. and again at 10 p.m. If it's not on your radar, check it out. You can follow Cheryl, by the way, at Cheryl Atkinson on Twitter.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.